Do you like cowboys? Do you like outer space? You're going to love this.
Do you like cowboys?
Yeah, I love cowboys.
Do you like outer space?
I feel I have mixed emotions on outer space.
That's fair. Welcome, anime fans and foes, to Steve and Kevin Watch Anime So You Don't Have To. My name is Kevin.
My name is Steve.
And today we're here with our special guest, Kirsten.
Hi.
Kirsten, would you describe yourself as an anime, like, buff?
Not even a little tiny bit.
Not even a little tiny bit.
Although I've seen at least 5 now.
Yep.
So yes.
So you're welcome. So, turning her into a weeb.
Nice. Of the 5 you've seen, what stood out? What did you like?
I really like Erased.
We really like Erased,
yep.
too.
Yep.
If you listened to last week's episode, I talked a little bit about my girlfriend Kirsten getting into anime, and now she has decided to sit in with us on this episode, which is great. And I'm sorry for you, but it's also great.
I'm sorry for you guys.
No, I mean, well, I wanted to have you here for and watch Cowboy Bebop because this was my first anime, and it's a lot of people's first anime.
And one of the critically acclaimed best animes.
And I'm going to admit right off the bat that watching it again, it's aged.
It has. It has. It has aged. I wouldn't necessarily say that it has aged well. But I on the other side, I don't think that it's not holding up still, because I think it still holds up.
Right.
Can you compare it to an actor or an actress that has aged also?
Well, we thought it was going to be Clooney.
You thought it was going to be Clooney?
We thought it was going to be Clooney, and I guess it's really more Brad Pitt.
Yeah, yes and no.
Well, I think if I can compare it to another, like, very similar piece of media, it's like Firefly.
Yeah.
Kirsten, Firefly?
I watched the first episode.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Yeah. It's very cult.
I also watched it recently.
It was weird.
It's
cult classic.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, told similar to this. Do you like cowboys? Do you like outer space? You're going to love this.
Do you like cowboys?
Yeah, I love cowboys.
Do you like outer space?
I feel I have mixed emotions on outer space.
That's fair. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, all cowboy drama is in outer space, when you think about it.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah. Did I just blow your minds?
Yeah.
Like
a supernova.
I like space. I could take or leave cowboys, but I definitely like that this is...
Okay, so we have a little of both sides of the table here.
Yeah, yeah.
I like both.
Get out.
But
that's fine.
Sweden.
I have like a few like basic notes. This came out in 1998. Yep. Yoko Kanno is the big name I want to talk about, who's attached to this project. She does all the music. The music in this, I feel, is good.
The music still holds up for sure.
I loved it.
Yeah.
It's really, really good.
In a lot of anime, like, in a lot of bad anime, characters will just sort of monologue about their problems or their emotional change or something and just, like, talk about it. And it'll be kind of weird. It's like the classic, like, echoey voice, like, fade out the background. It's the character in silhouette being like, I don't know if what I'm doing is really right.
Yeah.
In Cowboy Bebop, they let the music tell that story.
Yep.
And it's 1,000 times better.
Yep.
And it was very contradictory to a lot of... I mean, it was a good supplement, I think, but I would never have chosen it.
What?
For an action sequence to have, like, slow jazz.
Yeah, like
the
sort of roar of, like, the... of, like, the spaceships kind of fade out, and it just goes into, like, the harmonica. And that like, hits you. Like, it's, like, because there are so many cool fight scenes, and suddenly you're like, oh, I'm sad now.
Yeah. Like, oh, no.
I think that's what this show does very well, because we only see the failures. So, like, we only see the failures of the Cowboy Bebop crew. Like, that's sort of the series, is that it's just them kind of messing up over and over and over again.
I was going to say, it seemed like nothing, I mean, a lot happened in the episode,
yeah.
But it's like, oh, you're going to meet someone, oh, you're going to do this, and then at the end, it's washed.
Yep. It's just like, well, we're back to the beginning.
We failed this mission, right.
The bell peppers and beef is the bookend of the series. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, we were gonna, or the bookend of the episode. It's like, oh, well, you know, we were gonna go do this job and get some money, but things went south. Now we have no money, but we're still going. Like, that's sort of the rhythm of the show.
Yeah.
I'm gonna guess there's an extended plot line.
Yeah. You got a little bit of it. Like, very, very briefly, when Spike was Spike's the guy in the blue suit with the green hair.
When he was in the hut.
When he was in the hut with the Indian mystic guy. And he says, I was killed once before by a woman. That's, like, the little bit of the plot through line that happens. And gotcha. We figure out Spike's backstory. But most of them are just these one-shotty sort of episodes, which I like. I like
the mission episodes, right?
Yeah, I like X-Files, and I like a lot of anime that just sort of does nice little arcs for each episode.
Mm-hmm. And I like Pokemon, my favorite.
Yeah,
my favorite anime.
Yeah,
a true anime.
Well, like, Pokemon's good at being like, this episode is about this Pokemon.
Right.
Done.
Duh.
It's so formulaic.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
But it's easy.
But it's good. Yeah, you're just watching snippets and then you're just done watching. You're not emotionally invested in it for the rest of the day.
Yep. This one, you can't say you're not emotionally invested because you definitely...
It is emotional.
It's emotional and you get, like as Kev mentioned, like the storyline of Spike's background is like gets pretty intense.
Yeah. They sneak it in well.
Yes.
I feel.
Yes.
It kind of reveals itself more on repeat viewings. Like, I totally forgot about the whole guns in the bouquet of flowers opening sequence thing.
Is that just this opening for this episode, or is that every episode's opening?
That's not every episode's opening. That was just a little sneaky.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Sneaky peek. Most of them open with Tank, the opening sequence that's got the
horn,
which is great. It's one of my favorites. Kirsten, I'm just going to put the screws to you. What'd you think?
I liked it.
I liked it
a lot.
Okay.
As you guys know, I don't like over the top anime style animes.
Yeah.
As a newbie to anime, I associate this kind of animation with big mouths, weird sweat drops, little lines over people's faces, and I don't like that. So this didn't have that.
Yeah, it didn't.
It was great.
I couldn't remember if this had a lot of that or not, but
I was going into it. I was pretty sure that it didn't, because it's the same thing with Samurai. Which you didn't like, but they don't do that. Or this, what was he? Space Dandy. This team also did Space Dandy too, along with Samurai.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And Cowboy, and none of them. I mean, Space Dandy is over the top, but not in the typical anime style.
And there was,
that you would normally associate with like she mentioned, like emotion over emoting.
And there was only one gratuitous boob shot.
Yep.
But I thought it was well done.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was well placed. Yeah. It was supposed to show, you know, the creepiness of the little guys sitting behind there, but it was...
It was nice.
It was a little character feature.
And
she did have great boobs.
Also, she did have great boobs.
Put those on the counter, hold those puppies up.
Also, that's
how you do it.
That's the first sign that she isn't actually pregnant, is that she takes a sip of beer.
I thought she was just sneaking it. She was like...
Could be. That's supposed to be your first clue that maybe this person isn't actually pregnant. But like they're in a CD bar, they don't look totally like she could just be.
She drinking. Also had a very poor outfit choice for a pregnant woman.
Yeah.
Like it's hard to get around in heels and a shirt that's gonna pop open any second.
So Sofia Vergara style.
I mean, if you can pull it off.
I can't tell if that actress is pulling off her accent perfectly, because she's got like kind of the Selma Hayek voice going on. I like it, and I like a lot of the English voices in this, which is weird because I don't normally like English voices on my animus. But I thought most of the performances were okay. There are some lines that are crammed in there a little close together. Like at one point, when Jet shows up in his giant pickup truck spaceship and blasts a bunch of like random gangster fluff out of the way, and Jet says, "How you doing, Spike?" And Spike says, "Rotten, you're late, Jet." That sort of gets compressed into,
"Rotten, you're late, Jet!"
Over.
So, it doesn't work 100% of the time. What I do love is the setting is what I describe as used future.
Mm.
Everything that would be fantastic or wonderful is already boring to these people. Like
Spike's cool spaceship, like, and he's like, yeah, it's 10 years old and it's beat up.
Yeah.
And they like make, and that woman makes fun of her.
Yeah.
Or fun of him for it. She's like, oh, what the hell is this thing?
I don't know if she was being coy, but like when he says, I'm a traveling performer and there's a giant lightning cannon on the bottom of his car, like, I feel like that warrants a few more questions.
Yeah.
Used future, I love that.
I do like used, like when they go through the warp gate, like it's all majestic and like they have their cool 90s like CG effects or whatever. Mm-hmm. But as soon as they get out, they have to pay the toll. Like they go through the toll booth. The drugs thing is the used future thing. And I want to talk about Tijuana a little bit, which is where this is set.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this asteroid weird colony thing where we have signs in every language. Chinese, Russian, English, Japanese, Spanish, and it's supposed to be Tijuana. Not like our Tijuana, but like Tijuana again.
It represents Tijuana ideal or whatever.
Yeah, kind of seedy, but like all of these cultures are like pushed together and they're all like coexisting, but none of them mix. Nothing's homogenized.
Right.
It's just like everything exists as its own chunky thing. You have a Western bar. You have like a Western, like English style pub
mm-hmm.
next to a weird hut that an Indian mystic lives in.
So it's Disneyland.
And then they end up at a Mexican place, right?
At the end? Yeah. The Mexican place, I didn't notice it before, like my first time watching this, but the Mexican place is called Dennis's Bar.
That's awesome. I was wondering if it was called Tijuana for the English viewers, because we know what Tijuana represents, but
I think it's also,
for the original.
I think it's also called Tijuana in the original Japanese, and that is like an issue where like stuff gets changed all the time.
They're like, what's Tijuana? Because I know why we know
it's
Tijuana.
It says policia on the sides of the police cars, so I think it was also Tijuana in the original sub. Anyway. Spike is a divisive character for anime fans. Like, half of us think that Spike is the greatest character ever in any anime series. Coolest guy, best stuff, best drama, like, cool dude. And half of us are like, no, Spike's the worst, he's boring, no one should give a shit. He's too good at everything, he's too smart, he's too witty. Like, he's just boring. No one gives a shit about Spike. Why would anyone care about Spike?
Does he have problems? Does he have character flaws?
The thing about Spike is he's got character flaws that aren't really flaws.
Like being too handsome
or...
too smart. Those are my problem when people ask me about my flaws in job interviews.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying too.
Yeah, he has job interview flaws. Like, like he acts like he doesn't care, but he cares immensely. And those aren't really flaws. And I agree with that. I think that Spike is a little too perfect and a little too, like... Yeah, he's good at fighting, and he's good at advice, and he's good at, like, stuff, and he's just put into bad situations. But I think the bad situations are the key. Because in every episode, we never see Spike totally nailing it and succeeding all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
He does the best job he can, and the universe is just way too random and way too chaotic, and he can never get ahead.
Right. If he was so perfect and good at everything, why, as we talked about earlier, why is every episode mostly ending in failure and a mission?
Yeah.
And I see where people are coming from. I love Spike as a character.
Sure.
Just his demeanor, like, everything about him. And just the fact that, like, he can be looked at as, like, too perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like he doesn't know it.
Yeah.
At least that's how I take it.
Yeah, he does have a little bit of smugness about him. But we also kind of see that he's kind of set in his ways once, like, new characters start showing up.
Yep.
The next episode is gonna, like, illuminate on what situations he does not thrive in.
Excellent.
And there's a special...
There's a dog in the next episode.
I love dogs!
I know! I told Kevin not to tell you!
There's a dog in it!
He couldn't contain himself.
I know.
Sorry.
Well, we decided that if you hated it, we were going to be like, you have to watch the next episode. There's a dog in it. Yeah. But if you liked it, it was going to be a nice surprise.
So why did you guys think I might hate this?
I heard last time that you're not wild about anime people doing normal things. There has to be something
fantastic,
kind of happening.
Right.
And yeah. This is like not like sure it's in space and that's like fantastical.
But again, they downplay.
But right, but they downplay it. Yeah. But like spaceship riding, we've seen like
spaceship rides are just car chases.
Yeah,
there aren't even laser guns; they're all guns.
Right.
So I maybe erase changed my mind a little bit because
granted that's an extreme like erased as. You know, well, we've watched it, but for the viewers, is like an extreme case of child abduction, and it's something that like ripped from the headlines kind of thing.
And there's one fantastic element in that the main character is
spoiler.
But it's really good storytelling, and it illuminates the fact that it's an art form, and you can be watching something beautiful, but it is also a riveting story. I think the problem that I've had with other animes is like, why am I watching this, and why am I suffering all these ridiculous drawings?
I rewatched the first episode of Full Metal Alchemist. I don't think we can show it.
Well,
maybe once we get her into
it. I did want to share with you guys, this morning I watched the second episode of Silver Spoon. Didn't hate it.
Okay.
Didn't hate it. Okay. Still not totally sure, like, why it exists, but...
Listen, Kirsten, you don't have to do it for me.
It came on my Netflix.
It's my favorite show of all time.
You can't not hate it, or else you're literally ripping his heart out and stomping on it.
No, it's just... I will leap to the defense of that show, even though I'm now mostly sure that it's just a thing that I really enjoy and not a thing that everyone else enjoys.
But you know what? I am very supportive of trade schools. I think they should be a bigger thing in the U.S.
Oh, okay.
And if there's any way to spread that good message, then maybe cartoons will do the trick. But the main character is such a whiny little bitch.
Well, he's...
Oh my god. I know he's a dork and stuff, but...
Well, he has to grow. Like...
He just complains about everything.
He does complain about everything, but also he's like a city kid and...
That's fair.
We
can talk about that one later.
We'll do a Silver Spoon
obviously
episode.
Something.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Hachiken does suck in the first maybe two or three episodes, but then the pizza episode hits where he makes pizza for everyone.
Yeah.
And then he finds out what like his role is in the agricultural high school.
Okay.
I love this
He's
anime.
Searching for his dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand.
He doesn't know what his dream is. He doesn't figure out his dream till like season two.
But another reason I watched is because you mentioned that it was the same art direction team or whatever as Erased.
Yeah.
And
yep.
I
same
thought
animation
it
studio.
That was beautiful.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And I could see the similar elements, like they're talking about something and then panning over sort of mundane scenes at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I love shit like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have to run, but
okay.
I'm going to be back in about 45 minutes.
Okay, well...
We'll come back.
We're going to take a break, and then we'll be back with episode 2 of Cowboy Bebop. And we're back with episode 2 of Cowboy Bebop, Stray Dog Strut. Steve.
Hola.
Kirsten.
Spanish. Oh.
Hi.
What did you guys think?
You go first. Go ahead.
I go first?
Yeah.
I couldn't really pin it. I was just going to say it as it was a wacky episode, and I forgot how wacky it was.
It is a wacky episode.
I don't want to take the term from you because you coined it, but while we were watching, you said it was very Scooby-Doo-ish.
I mean, it's appropriate because it's
and
about
it was,
a dog, but...
But it was pretty spot on. It was wacky.
It was wacky, and that's not really... I think it's a weird second episode because it's almost a comic relief episode when we don't really need comic relief
no,
yet.
No, you kind of get that, like, it's a little serious, but, like, Spike and Jet are, like, it's almost comical how they get into, like, you can tell from the first episode, it's comical how they get into their mishaps.
Yeah.
Like, how nothing seems to go right for them, and that's a funny thing. So I don't know why, like, I know you've watched this a bunch of times, I've watched it a bunch, but less.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember that. I remember the episode, but I don't remember it being the second one.
Yeah.
But it feels misplaced.
It does. I feel like I want to know more about Spike and Jet as just a duo before we try to, like, upset their balance by throwing in Ayn.
I mean, the dog's awesome.
The dog is awesome.
Ayn is great.
But
yeah, you don't learn the dog's
name.
The dog has a name? Yeah, the dog's name is Ayn, which is short for Einstein.
Nice.
Yep.
Because he's a data dog and that's smart. And guess what? We never fucking find out what it means that he's a data dog.
Nope, that's it.
He operates a computer once, like in an episode, like 10 episodes away, and that's
But he's expensive, and people rarely know why things are expensive. They just accept it and want them more. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's representative of real life.
Although neither Spike nor Jet were watching the Bounty Hunter show, Big Shot, when they were announcing that. Yep. It was expensive. What did you think, Kirsten? What are your thoughts?
So my thought while I was watching it was I've been watching a lot of shows that are not one-offs. They're the episodes build towards something. There's specific. There are two seasons, and it's a mystery, mm-hmm. and you have to watch the next one to figure it out. And I've been doing that so much, I forgot that, you know, when you're younger, and oftentimes on sitcoms or whatever, you'll watch shows that are just for watching.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
And it's just, it's a cartoon. It's funny. It's for the half hour that you're watching it, and it's not meant to hook you for the next one, and it doesn't have a bigger plot point, and that's okay, too.
And this comes from an era where, like, if you missed it on TV when it aired, you might never see it again. So, like...
Yeah.
So, like, if you missed this episode, you just have to accept that there's a dog on the Bebop now.
Yep. How'd that dog get there? You know what?
Probably doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good point.
Hit Data Dog. There's another, like, juxtaposition of mysticism and technology, which is... Which I noticed this time because it stuck out to me in the first episode. Like, there are two fortune tellers in two episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And while Abdul Hakim, the level two goon,
yep.
like our new bounty for this week, while he's tracking down Ayn, the dog, he finds a fortune teller who directs him where to go. At the same time, Spike is relying on Ayn the dog to direct him where to go, and Jet is tracking Ayn through technology. So it's really, all of this is like, why do we trust where we get our information from? Whether it comes from technology or mysticism or animals. And animals are like a big, there's a lot of coincidences happening in this
show. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
It's just,
everyone's got their own way of finding where this object, which happens to be a dog, is going, and no one can seem to understand how or why it's doing the things that it do, but you're following it.
And all the different ways worked.
Yeah. Stuff just happens, and from the point of view of the characters, if you're not seeing all the events that happen, stuff's just randomly happening. Like, nothing fucking matters. Like, it's chaos. Like, everything's chaos, but you can see the through line of what happens. And this isn't a particularly deep episode.
Nope.
Those episodes come later, but, like, this one's mostly just kind of fun and wacky and Scooby-Doo-like.
Yeah.
Can we talk about their outfits a little bit?
Whose outfits?
So, I didn't really notice that there's, like, a 70s outfit theme.
Yeah.
Until Hakim came into it, mm-hmm. and he's got an afro, he's got a vest, he looks straight out of the 70s.
Yeah, and Spike is in a blue, like...
an oversized blue, like, hyper-collar shirt.
Yeah, and and his boots are the same color as his pants and coat.
Yeah, yeah, that was a big 70s thing.
And Jet has kind of a trucker-biker thing going on. He's got the eagle on the mm-hmm. back of his leather vest. Like... Yep. Like, you're right, there is a total 70s thing going on. Yep. The note I wrote down is every accent. We see, like, every terrible accent in this episode.
The best one was the weapons guy.
Oh, the weapons guy.
Surfer guy, that was so good.
He was so great,
I
bro.
Mean, not the hairdo you would associate with that accent. He has, like, a super mohawk.
Super mohawk.
Super yellow mohawk. And that, the accent that they used was like a surfer beach bum guy.
What's up, bruh?
I'd say like maybe like thrasher British punk voice maybe would fit a bit better. That scene. Alright, so let me just review what happens in the weapons guy scene. Is Spike is looking for Abdul Hakim, who he knows has stolen a dog or some creature or a lab animal. That's all they have to go on.
Yep.
So he goes to a weapon shop. Interesting place to look.
Yep.
Where he finds a rack of weapons and a bored looking weapon shop clerk who looks like a punk. Like, he's got a mohawk and he's got cool tattoos and stuff, and his color scheme's on point. And the thing that happens in that scene is Spike is so good at nunchucks that the dude just tells him what he wants to know.
He's like, yeah, these are from the 30s. He's like, yeah, bro, you're right. Oh my god, this is where the dog is.
Surfer Bro actually says to him, like, you'd have to pay top dollar to figure out where that guy's going. And Spike just flips around the nunchucks a few times. He's like, you know what? I'm going to tell you for free. Not even in a threatening way. It's just like, cool nunchucking, bro.
Spike's just like, yo, I got these nunchucks.
Yeah.
Whip, 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 whip. Here they are. Oh, bro, that's awesome.
So I guess with this viewing of Cowboy Bebop, I'm figuring out why maybe people may not be super wild about Spike. Because he's just kind of perfect. Like, he's just kind of, like, everything's... He's so cool, and all his flaws are not flaws. Like, at the end of the episode, when he, like, saves the dog, for no obvious reason other than... You should probably save the dog if you want to continue being a good person. I don't know.
But for me, the whole thing started where, like, I sort of disagree because it was, like, the scene in the pet shop where he finds out that the dog is... I mean, we know the dog isn't worthless, but he finds out the dog is worthless.
Yeah.
He's just like, all right, again, here we go. Well, see you, buddy.
Yeah.
Like, I get, you know, ultimately it worked out for him, but for me, I noticed that just because of the point we made earlier, I was like, well, once again, like, maybe it's just an initial thing.
Yeah.
But it's just like, well, he got the shit end of the stick again. He was chasing a dog.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
And, like, after that scene, he steps in a puddle, and when he's kicking his shoe dry, he passes by Abdul Hakim.
Yeah, and he misses him.
Yeah.
And it's like, so, for me, that the short sequence is like, he's like an idiot savant.
So it's not that he's super cool, it's just that things either work out for him perfectly or don't. Like, maybe he's not a kung fu master, he's just really lucky.
Yeah, like drunken boxing or something. Like,
that is an art form.
I know.
Yeah, it's about being unpredictable and
drunk.
And being
drunk. He's just, what do you think he was like in high school?
Spike?
Yeah.
Probably broody.
Yeah.
It's probably like, I can see him in high school, like, being super broody and then coming around to I don't give a shit about anything.
Yeah.
and then finding power in that instead of finding, like...
Like, his home life, do you think it was happy or, like, he was probably well-nourished. His parents loved him and he just kind of didn't care.
I mean, they say he's from Mars. Like, he's like, I was born on Mars, and Mars is supposed to be the cool place.
Oh, so he's right. like a cool rich kid.
Yeah.
He's like, I didn't ever want to be rich. I didn't ask for this.
I think you're right. He is Mr. White Privilege.
Mm.
He's just kind of white, middle class, straight guy who's in an interesting choice of career, but maybe he doesn't really need to be there.
Maybe he doesn't know how good he has it.
I'd say, yeah. The more you find out about, Spike, the more you kind of figure out he really doesn't give a shit and he is at least a little bit trying to throw his life away.
Yeah.
Like, not in a way that's, like, explicit or deep, but, like, he is kind of in a rut. Like, we're coming up, like, this is not the peak of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one thing I like about all these characters is that we see their failures. We see that they are actually, you know, semi-skilled or competent people, but we only see their failures, and they're all on the downslope of their life.
Like,
yeah.
Like, we find out Jet used to be a cop, like,
okay,
and now he's a bounty hunter.
And I think that works with the theme of the used future kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like, they're just in as much in a rut as this atmosphere that they're in.
Sure. And, you know, when this was on air, I think Japan was just about in the depths of its recession.
Yeah.
Like, everything was feeling a little bit like a used future in Japan at this point. Like, all this technology and, like, no hope.
I like observing the technology in these shows because it's supposed to be futuristic. We don't know how many years in the future. Obviously, far enough that they've invented space travel. They've colonized other planets.
Yep.
and whatever, but they're still using TV-like devices.
Yeah.
And cell phones.
And cell phones.
Yeah.
And I understand that the limitation is that we just absolutely can't imagine what's going to be the technology of the future, right. But it's like no more than 10 years in the future.
Yeah, exactly. It's like...
Except for spaceships.
Right. It's like, you know, I think the only place you'd see a CRT in the wild is at my own house. Because, like, that, we don't have flat screens, we have CRTs. Yeah. We're, like, the last house in America to have CRTs.
What's a CRT?
That's the big, bulky TVs. Oh, okay. With the static and the like, domed glass.
Nice. Yeah. It's an antique.
Yeah. The non-flat screen TV.
Well, don't you have a flat screen CRT?
Yeah, it's not like
so. It's like the tail end. That's what I had in like college. Yeah. I had a flat screen, but it was like the honkin' butt. But it was like flat in the front, business in the back.
Up in my room, I have my little like CRT.
That's a CRT. Yeah, that is tube TV.
Yeah, I love that thing
with a dial on it.
No, well, actually, yeah, it has no remote. It does have a dial.
Yep. Nice.
And I play PlayStation 2 on it. Whoa. Because I'm really cool.
That's the format that you want to play it on.
Big Shot. Big Shot's the TV show that the Bounty Hunters watch, and that was the bookends of the episode this time. And it was a cowboy and a cowgirl who do sort of a forced shucks howdy accent and talk about like which criminals are on the run. This week,
it's such a service they provide.
I love that from 1998 perspective. In the future, there will be so many channels and TV shows that everyone just gets a show.
Yeah,
like you can just have the Bounty Hunter program. That's like a little glitzy. Like,
but why was the pet store lady watching that channel?
That is an excellent point. I have no idea.
She's just surfing, and she's like,
maybe the turtle on her head was really the bounty hunter.
Is she a secret? I like the idea that she's like an aspiring bounty hunter.
Yeah.
She's like, she's like, I could be a bounty hunter one day, or maybe like she saw Hakeem, so maybe she's like following up to see if he got caught.
Maybe
interesting.
But I like the idea that my babies, pet store lady is actually a secret bounty hunter. So many accents. I can't even put an adjective in front of the accents because they're terrible and I also like them.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of other moments. Abdul Hakim walking out of the river to two startled fishing boys and saying, "What time is it?"
That was pretty good. He was scary. He reminded me of, I can't think of what this other character is, but I know that there is a very similar shot. In, like, a scary movie. Like, someone from the deep or something like that.
Yeah, he's so lanky, too. All the
characters... Are you thinking Lady in the Water?
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you.
We were talking about how all the characters have really long legs. Or at least Spike and Hakeem have really long legs.
Yeah.
And, like, how... And Steve and I, while Kirsten was gone, we were talking again.
You guys were talking without me.
I'm sorry.
You guys are supposed to be quiet for an hour and a half.
I know. But we were talking again. And this time it was about, well, we're really noticing like the number, like the lower number of frames in the animation.
Yeah. You mentioned that when we were watching.
The running.
Yeah. And we saw it again in the running where it's just like maybe a 3 or 4 frame animation. And listen,
I looked like 3.
Or
it could be 2. Switch.
I've animated legs, and they're the worst fucking things in the entire world to animate.
That's why you do the Roadrunner legs.
Yeah.
Or just give all your characters wheels.
Or just make a lot of waist-high objects.
Yeah.
But then when the plane, or plane, spaceship was flying, it's like, there, oop. Warp.
Yep. It's just like, just something just sliding across the screen. So there are some shortcuts, and
it's okay. 90s.
Exactly. It is the 90s. I think it's just the time.
Oh yeah, and they had to draw all this shit too. There's some computer generated stuff, but like this is like labor intensive draw that shit work.
I believe it, and I don't blame them for it.
Yeah. So I was telling this to Kev also while you were gone. I know. I'm sorry. And I want to get your perspective on it because when I was telling Kevin, we were talking about she liked it. Good. Like that's great. In the break. I knew that you were going to like the music, first off. I knew you were going to like...
it's classy and adult, just like me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I knew that you were going to like the characters and the atmosphere, but I wasn't sure how you... And storytelling, you know, I knew that, like... I forgot that this episode came this early, but you don't really get into the story until later.
Yeah.
But my big thing I thought you were going to get hung up on was the animation style. Mostly because it was from the 90s. It's not as advanced as what we're watching now.
I think that's kind of why I like it, because it reminds me of, like, Saturday morning cartoons. It's like Transformers. Yeah.
And that's what I said. So not exactly like that, but Kevin and I, watching a lot of anime, this is, like, some of the older animes that we love are stylized like this. And, like, you could tell there's even some shortcuts in the background where, like, they'll just put the guy's eyes and they won't put his, like, face or really... in. Like, the old guys at the bar, when you first see them, you
can... Yeah, they just kind of simplify them.
And, yeah, exactly.
Like the lady who didn't have a nose.
Yeah.
Right.
All the front
so,
shots.
So what I was saying to Kevin is that, like, I still think that this looks beautiful because of just the nostalgia, like, part of it.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it looks beautiful. I think the backgrounds are great. I think all the background scenes are so full of detail and interesting, and, like, they all have rules, and, like...
I love that shot that was, like, coming over the canyon wall with the water and with the sounds at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's when I was thinking about the technology in the future, and that was a scene that was very imaginative, because there aren't really landscapes like that right now.
Right.
And they were kind of trying to imagine the city that exists in the future. And so it made me think of a created, like a man-made world. And it was very interesting.
And we talk about, like, terraforming Mars or whatever, but what if we can only, like, really get one, like, crater?
Right.
Like,
like,
you'll know what we can survive in, guys.
It goes back to the year's future thing. Like, it's all compromise. It's like, well, we can get breathable air, but we haven't really worked out how to colonize all the planets. So just everybody stay in this canyon.
Yep.
Just a little bit.
Like, it's not perfect. Right. Everything's a compromise.
See, so I think that's, and I think it's mostly just because of the show, but that's why I don't think all, like, old 90s anime looks beautiful, but I think for this show it works, and it's going back to the theme of used future, where, like, the anime isn't perfect. Like, the style isn't perfect.
No.
And I think that adds to the atmosphere, it adds to their environment around them, that it's not, like, super sharp, crisp lines, and it's a little bit, like, skipping a few frames and, like, not giving all the detail that you need that makes it beautiful to me.
I think this anime's greatest strength is how it makes you believe that there's other shit going on while you're not watching.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like this is just a very small window into a world and not, like, a complete story. Like, I can, like, imagine there has to be stuff going on between the episodes, or else, like, they'd never keep their ship flying, they'd have no money, whatever. Like, there's got to be less exciting stories, other bounties. And these are just, like, the stories we're being told.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't really think of another, like, show that adopts that style of deliberately not telling you about some aspects of the world or the story and just moving on with it.
I think it's because of the team. I think Samurai Champloo is the same way. Not exactly the same way, but they have the whole journey of finding the Sunflower Samurai, and you kind of just see snippets of them moving along.
I gotta rewatch that. Maybe not with Kirsten.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to be here for that.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll watch the second episode. I like it.
I think
they're just very good. This team is very good at that.
Yeah.
And it I don't know. It feels... I don't really know what I'm trying to say.
It feels complete without it being exhaustive. Like,
there we go.
Like, it doesn't have to tell you everything to make you believe that there is everything in this world.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, it's kind of like hearing a story from a guy in a bar, and he's telling a really interesting story, and you can just imagine, like, this is probably an interesting story, but, like, The background noise of his life must also be way more interesting than mine. Like, just like a cool, like, grizzled old dude telling a really awesome story, and you're like, you must have seen some shit, man. Like, I'm
not going to ask any more questions.
Yeah,
I don't want to follow you home.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't want to know more about you because it's going to ruin it.
That's a great, like, that is how, like, drunken stories are told.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to tell you the good parts. I'm not going to tell you the parts where we're just flying around in space.
Really sad.
Yeah.
Or walking around in, you know, Edo, Japan, if relating to samurai. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to tell you about that. I'm going to tell you about the time I ran into these two samurais, sliced them up, or the time I ran and found a dog in a suitcase.
Yeah, don't tell me about how roofs are shingled in Mordor. Just show me the orcs punching each other.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
So is this his story as an old drunken man telling it in a bar?
Yes. I'd say so. I think this is Jet's story.
I was about to say that.
I think... Because Jet is, Jet's like the survivor. Like, and when Jet tells stories about, like, his time on the police force, like, later on, or, like, when you see young, there's, like, this one story where, like, you get a flashback to young Jet, and he's, like, all, his name's Jet Black, by the way, because obviously.
Nice, of course.
Jet Black and Spike Spiegel, because... Oh, yeah. You know, when, great, fine, whatever.
Yeah,
you can name your characters whatever you want. Those are great choices.
It's the future.
It's the future.
But, like, you get to see young Jet Black, Private Inspector, and he's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So it's maybe he loves Spike. That's why he tells him this way.
Yeah.
Hmm. We'll have to keep watching.
Dude, that's awesome. Like Jet is trying to keep the memory of Spike alive, so he exaggerates how awesome Spike is.
Ooh.
In these memories.
Ooh.
And like,
and it is very Spike. I mean, even just the first two episodes, like, Jet has maybe four lines.
Yeah. And like,
and I know it's not like that through the whole series, but like, it's a very Spike heavy.
And Jet just regrets that they never got to bang.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's like, I never sealed the deal with Spike.
He was so perfect.
Yeah. We were together for a short time, and then
and that's it.
Drifted apart.
How many episodes is this series?
This is 26 episodes.
Yes.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Animes are pretty short, maybe one or two seasons, and that's it.
How does Scooby-Doo get as many episodes as it did? I don't understand that.
There are 2,000 Naruto episodes.
Yeah, that's true. I should say most animes are on the shorter side.
And they're like 500, tennis one. What was our first anime?
Oh, Prince of Tennis.
Prince of Tennis. Like, it's either like they get a short run and they're canceled and they're beautiful but they end before their time.
Yep.
Gangsta. Or there's a specific story that they want to tell and they complete it like Erased in Cowboy Bebop. And like, you can see where they're going the whole time and it's great. Or they just fuck around for years, and that's like your Bleach, your Naruto, your Rurouni Kenshin.
Oh, like The Simpsons.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
With no point.
Yep.
So,
how many episodes The Simpsons have at this point? It's like 26 seasons or something.
26 seasons. I have no idea.
I'm trying to get a reference of how many 500 episodes is. You gonna look it up?
What do you mean?
You said there were 500 episodes of Prince of Tennis.
Yeah.
So how many seasons would that be?
Animes do it a little bit.
Yeah.
It'd be
quarterly, because it's 12 episodes per quarter, probably two quarters out of the year.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah. So 24 times... so maybe like... Oh, Prince Tess is like 15 years old.
Oh.
Yeah.
Still a lot of episodes. The same guys are just drawing those tennis matches over and over again?
Well, probably some of them quit.
I have no idea what it's about. I'm just guessing. It's just about
tennis. Oh, it's just about tennis.
Yeah. We started off Steve and Kevin Watch Anime with a real shit bag. It was excellent.
God. I don't even watch regular tennis. I don't know why I was like, we got to start with Prince of Tennis. But we did. We did.
We stuck with it.
It's been a while since we've done a sports anime.
It's true. Should we do Ace of Diamond? We watched
that. I almost suggested we do Ace of Diamond because I knew you wouldn't like it because...
Yeah, just the title alone makes zero sense.
It's just about a kid who goes to baseball. It's about a kid who goes to baseball high school.
Oh.
Yeah. It's awesome. Don't Don't worry, there are so many.
Do they have baseball high school?
There's so many gay innuendos with the pitcher and catcher. It's awesome.
Oh man, it's all a gay innuendo.
It's all gay. Who's pitching to who and who's catching what dick and butt?
And how you gotta trust your dick to your butt.
Nailed it.
That's baseball.
Is it innuendo? Like, did they mean to do that, or is it just a byproduct?
That is an excellent question.
Dirty imagination.
We would have to like have a whole group of
analysis.
Yeah, of us and of, yeah. of Ace of the Diamond.
Yep,
it's Ace of the Diamond.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, it should be Ace of Diamond.
Ace of Diamond. Also, Simpsons. I believe, if I'm reading this right, according to Wikipedia, have 596 episodes.
Beat him.
Dang. I think that's about all my thoughts on Cowboy Bebop. You guys got anything you want to
say? I think I'm pretty wrapped up.
I'd say, all right, so we usually say if we're going to keep watching or if we recommend or what our thoughts on this is, but I'm actually, like, since I've seen this so many times and it's been a while since I've seen it, I don't think this is going to, like, launch me into another watch of the whole series again.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just thinking that. I was like, maybe we could keep watching Kirsten and I. And I'm like,
I don't know. I mean, maybe, just, like, nothing to do in the middle of the day, because that happens all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we do this? Mm-hmm. As the newbie, Kirsten, Kevin and I have watched the show multiple times.
Sure.
So I think if you look at it just strictly as that... We're obviously going to say
recommend.
We're going
to recommend it, yep.
Considering we've watched it over and over and over.
I feel like if
we were to be critical, we could probably just say no, don't not recommend, but let's be, like, I would probably recommend this.
Here's the only thing is, usually it's really easy to find the anime we watch because it's on Hulu, Crunchyroll. It's kind of hard to find Cowboy Bebop unless you buy it.
That's true.
We watched it on DVD.
That's true.
If you have access to the DVDs. Go for it.
So, what would you say? Doing our formula, two episodes, and then we give our recommendation. Or sometimes, if it's erased after the first episode, we're like, "Yep,
yeah."
What would you say?
I'd say, like, why not watch it? It's not so far. My impression is it's not really about anything. If you like Scooby-Doo, if you like Power Rangers, or like...
It starts out light, and I think those recommendations make sense, because it is totally Saturday morning cartoons with swears. Like, that's all that's really going for it.
Violence, and exactly.
I think if I am judging it based on these two episodes, I think my response would be the same. Sure, what the hell, why not? Right. It's fun. I'm not gonna run out and binge it.
So I want to know how you guys felt watching that. So sometimes you have a show or a song that you absolutely love. You're like, I gotta share this with someone. And you're so excited to share it. And you guys already know how I feel about this style. I'm a little skeptical, a bit critical. Mm-hmm. I'm getting into it though. Feeling more comfortable with it. You guys have given me some good examples. Mm-hmm. But anyway, you show them the song or the show. And all of a sudden, it looks terrible, and it's much worse than you thought it was, and you're super critical of it because you're watching it through their eyes.
Yeah.
How'd it feel watching this with me today?
I'm gonna answer before Kevin, and I think I'm gonna answer for both of us. That is any anime ever.
yeah.
But I haven't...
If you are, like, you have to be 150,000% sure... that's a number that the person that you're showing anime to is going to enjoy it, or else you look like a weeaboo.
And you can't
Are you trying to say weirdo?
No,
weeaboo.
Are you trying to say weirdo?
Weeaboo.
Weeaboo.
Weirdo.
Weeaboo. It's kind of like IHOP, U-Hop, We All Hop, but it's weeaboo.
Guys, pancakes later?
Yep.
All right, so the thing is, this was my favorite, this specific show was my favorite show in the world when I was 14. My favorite band in the world when I was 14 was Linkin Park. So it's kind of like I just played Linkin Park for you for 44 minutes, and
you still want to be friends.
And you still want to be friends. And I'm like, Linkin Park is not as great as I remembered, but it's also not as terrible as I thought it would be.
Yep.
Okay, good. So it's ringing endorsement. That's for not.
The, I mean, that's not the case with Linkin Park. Yeah. I mean, Meteor is pretty good.
I mean,
we're gonna edit that out.
If Linkin Park comes on the radio and I'm in my car alone, I'll listen to most of the
song. We're gonna edit that part out and break up.
I've cranked it as a joke and then gotten into it.
That's fair.
I also have a Pandora station that is called the worst station in the world that has Nickelback, Puddle of Mud, probably Linkin Park.
Yep.
Probably some Daughtry.
Breaking Benjamin. Oh, Breaking Benjamin. Yep.
Oh yeah.
So you put this on at parties and everyone
leaves. Everyone leaves. Well,
but seriously, people love this. But people love bad stuff.
It's true.
Not saying that this show.
However,
is bad, we have the Spice Girls radio. That's our claim to fame.
That is Spice Girls Pandora. Mm-hmm. I was only like slightly joking when I said you need to be 1,000% sure. The 15, whatever number I said.
I was like, whatever, I still whatever. Like it. Oh, so, I'm questioning my choices.
It's just because.
So it is, yeah, go ahead.
There are anime nerds who will just steamroll you and be like incensed that like you just don't get it. Like anime is this like mythical wonder medium that is completely different from all of their TV or film or whatever. And like that's a weeaboo. That's a weeb. Like, that's our derogatory term for an anime fan.
Gotcha.
Weeaboo.
Yeah.
So I was actually going to ask you how this is different from a lot of the 90s American cartoons that we watched on Saturday mornings.
Ah! Swears.
Okay, well, that's blood, true. But violence. I mean, like, the animation style.
Probably more detailed backgrounds, more frames, if you can believe it, of animation. But you're right. It's got like sort of a history. It's got that like traditional Saturday morning cartoon history of like
primary colors.
Yep. Episodes that don't super fit together. Any excuse for like a flashy fight scene. Mm-hmm. And
a cute little dog episode.
Cute little dog episode. Mm-hmm. I think the real difference is that this takes place in a universe where there is no moral. Like, there is no one pretends to learn something at the end of the episode. It's just like, here are a series of events. Here's how these characters are tested. It says more about the world than about the characters. It's mm-hmm. like, the world is a crazy, chaotic place where sometimes shit just happens and sometimes people die, but we all keep on living because the alternative is stupid.
I also think that because of the world...
Quickly moving. That's how it's different from Saturday morning cartoons. Anybody want to listen to Linkin Park?
All right. I also think that it's different, this one specifically, and due to the dreary, dull world that they do use primary colors, but it's not bright. Like, Saturday morning cartoons were bright and colorful. And this is somewhat Transformers, Power Rangers, Ninja Turtles, you know, name any cartoon on Saturday, and it had very bright and flashy colors. This one is definitely, they still have a lot of colors, but it's a little more of a earthier palette.
Mm. Definitely.
It's an adult palette.
It's an adult,
it's an
palette.
Adult palette.
For adults.
For adults.
This,
like your 13-year-old self.
Like, when I loved the show when I was 14.
This palette has to shave, and it's in deep debt. That's how adult that palette is.
Yeah.
All right. I feel like that does it on Cowboy Bebop.
But we'll give just a recommend or not recommend, Kirsten?
Yeah. Recommend.
Recommend. Overall recommend.
Overall recommend.
Not going to binge it. We're not going to
turn. Not like we used to.
We're probably going to play Smash instead of turn on episode 3.
Probably.
But like,
I guess my recommend is like, tell your friends to go watch this tomorrow. Probably not. But if we're talking about animes that aren't that bad, I would say this one.
Yeah. That's a good closing note.
All right. That's positive. That's, well, you know, vaguely positive.
Well,
it's not so bad in my book.
That's about it for this episode of Steve and Kevin. I have been Kevin.
I have been Steve.
Thank you for having me. I've been Kirsten.
And we just watched Cowboy Bebop, so you don't have to.
it, Ken.